Welcome back to another episode of Fostering Conversations, a podcast nurturing discussion centered around foster care, adoption, special needs, parenting, and child well-being. I'm your host, Shay Stinson. I'm the junior content creator for Siraj Family Homes. Founded in 1987, Siraj Family Homes is a national foster care agency specializing in serving children with special and therapeutic needs. Join me today for a conversation with Brenda McCoy on the topic of corporal punishment. You don't want to miss this one, and you definitely want to take notes. Stay tuned. So we're doing an interview this morning with Brenda McCoy. My name is Shay Stinson. I'm a content creator with Siraj Family Homes. And we're going to let Brenda introduce herself. Brenda, if you would, tell us a little bit about you, your time with Siraj Family Homes, what region you're in, and what role take on at Siraj, and just give us a little bit of background about you.
Yes, absolutely. So my name is Brenda McCoy. I am the licensed and social worker for the Maryland region. I've been with Siraj Family Homes since October 2019, so almost about 2 years. I'm a licensed clinical social worker in the state of Maryland, and I received my MSW from the University of Maryland School of Social Work.
And can you give us some background about your experience training incoming foster parents?
So as licensed and social worker, I am one that works with our potential professional family teachers to get them trained so that they can actually become licensed providers, so that they can become licensed homes. As well, once they are licensed homes, then I'm involved with their ongoing training because it is required that they complete about 24 hours of training annually. So we, try to make it easy on them. While they can choose to go outside to receive their training, we definitely provide them with training on a monthly basis so that they can get 2 hours. So if they, get the training with us every month, that will help to satisfy the requirement. So I'm involved in, taking care of the training for our professional family teachers on a monthly basis.
With that being said, can you tell us, what is the most fun concept you teach or do your monthly training on with your foster parents, or what may be the most difficult?
One of the things that I find very interesting, and I know, you've experienced this as well, is when we talk to our, whether it's the potential professional family teachers or our actual professional family teachers about it, the difference between discipline and punishment. And I would say that because a lot of people have not been aware that there's a distinction made between discipline and punishment, because a lot of us were trained and brought up in a way that's different from what is expected for bringing up and rearing children in today's world, so that they can be positive, productive, and healthy.
That's a pretty deep concept, and just a little bit of background about myself. I'm also one of the TIPS trainers for Siraj Family Homes, so I can speak to that concept. It's a difficult concept to teach for people who are maybe traditionally aware of certain types of punishment in raising children. So to go more into that, as a matter of fact, is our topic for this conversation. What is corporal punishment, Brenda? Can you give us, as a social worker, how would you define that?
So, like I said, a lot of people don't realize that distinction, right? There's discipline and then there's punishment. Discipline is an intervention that meets the needs of a child and teaches the child, right? So it teaches the child something. It could be, teaching them about consequences from their choices, the connection between feelings and behaviors, how maybe some of that past trauma that they've experienced impacts their reactions to stress or perceived threats. And it also could even teach them about how to feel good about themselves. Examples of discipline could be taking away privileges in the event that, say, there was some damage, done when the child acted out. The discipline could be ensuring that restitution occurs. It could be providing positive reinforcers and privileges. Maybe helping the child understand their feelings, right? Communicating with them so that they get that connection between emotions and behavior. But punishment, on the other hand, right? Punishment is the intervention that's designed to just stop or decrease a behavior in that moment through discomfort. And there are, you know, two kinds of punishment, right? So we've got physical, which is what people often think of when they think about corporal punishment, right? So we've got physical, and then we have non-physical. Examples of the physical could be like spanking, hitting the child with an object like a belt or a fly swatter, slapping, pinching, or, you know, even that ear pulling, right? Those are considered physical forms of punishment, corporal punishment. There could also be non-physical punishment, and that could include maybe sending the child to bed without food, excessive amounts of chores, belittling or name-calling, or some other form of embarrassment, right? So we've got that difference, that distinction made between discipline and punishment, right? Which, so physical punishment, again, is what people oftentimes think of when they think of corporal punishment.
Wow, that's an amazing breakdown of that, and I hope that a lot of people can take that with them from this conversation and get a better understanding of, like you said, the distinction between the two. And I love how you broke down the types of punishment, either the physical or what'd you say was the other one?
Physical and non-physical.
And non-physical, right. So with that being said, typically children who are in foster care have experienced some type of trauma. So tell me, in your experience, how much more devastating is that for children in foster care to experience a type of corporal punishment?
Yeah. I mean, you know, like you said, it can really be re-traumatizing. And we understand that many of us, again, have had physical punishment used on us in our growing up, or maybe some of us, you know, have used it on those that we love. But we've definitely learned that those techniques are not an effective tool and could be possibly detrimental for the children who we serve in the foster care system. We've learned that children in the foster care system, you know, who've experienced severe abuse, they may even be numb to the pain, right? So then what you're doing in terms of introducing that physical punishment is ineffective, right? It's not even doing anything because they're numb, unfortunately, to the pain due to their history of severe abuse. And definitely any time that you engage with someone physically, it increases the risk of unintended accidents, right? So we place the children in the home so that they can be safe, right? And so anytime you're engaged in that, you know, the safety is compromised. You know, again, it can re-traumatize the child. It can give the child negative messages, right? It doesn't help them to feel worthwhile, lovable, capable, or responsible. It's not building the trust or attachment that's needed in the relationship. And it definitely doesn't teach the child healthy ways to get their needs met. And it's extremely important to remember that the Raj family home prohibits the use of punitive or physical discipline. So it's not an effective tool with the children that we serve, and it is also expressly prohibited.
Wow. That's very good to note. And we definitely want to take that message away from this conversation. That's an amazing breakdown, Brenda. And I like that you pointed out that the risk, one of the big risks of a child in foster care experiencing corporal punishment is that they become numb to that type of treatment. And who wants to continue to experience that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Part of their safety plans are being able to get away from those types of experiences that led them to that sort of numbness. So let me ask you this. You spoke to possibly working with professional family teachers, potential foster parents as well, that may have used corporal punishment on people that they love and may have experienced corporal punishment themselves.
Yeah.
So when you're training people who've already used corporal punishment and raising their own biological children, of course, we don't seek to negate anyone's experience in raising children. So right. Do you seek to change their hearts and minds on using corporal punishment? Like, and like as a trainer, like what boundaries do you set with using corporal punishment on their biological children, but not foster children? So how are you reaching hearts and minds on this topic?
That's a great question. And, you know, like you said, we understand that we don't have any control over how our parents are going to choose to intervene when it comes to their biological children. But what we can do is educate them about the difference between discipline and punishment, right? And we can also let them know that, again, it is prohibited that they intervene using punishment with the children that we place in their homes. And so we always let them know too that we are a team. And so in the event that they, you know, find that they're, you know, hitting up against this wall and they're not exactly sure what to do, we are available for them 24/7. And all they have to do is to reach out to us and we can help, whether it's getting them, you know, respite, so that they can have a little break from the situation. And at that time, maybe, you know, we can work with them some more to provide them with some more tools. Or if respite isn't needed, if it's not quite to that level, we're there to, you know, provide support and advice about some other tools that could be used that would be more effective. And we recognize that our foster parents, that they must be creative in their use of discipline strategies. And that proper discipline really requires a great deal of patience, planning, and consistency, in part because many of our children who've experienced abuse and maltreatment and neglect, or some of those that have special needs, may need to unlearn and then relearn many behaviors. So it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of patience and all that, and we get that, right? But it's important work that contributes to our children's ability to become successful, positive, and healthy adults who make good choices. So it's worth it.
Wow, it's absolutely worth it. Those are some great nuggets. Ultimately, it boils down to discipline versus punishment. And what do you want to leave this child who has already been traumatized with from their experience with you in foster care? And I love how you broke that down. So speaking more to that, discipline versus punishment, like with your monthly trainings, with your ongoing trainings, thinking back to like some of the maybe fun concepts with your professional family teachers, do you guys offer like team groups to deal with discipline versus punishment? Do you guys offer peer support for foster parents? What are you doing to sort of hone in on this discipline versus punishment concept with your foster parents?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of preparation goes into the monthly trainings and the plannings for the topic. And so what we do every month is we try to pick a topic that would be useful for the placements, regardless whether you have one of our older youth or one of the younger youth. And it most of the training really goes to that, you know, we talk about, say, in our TIPS training, that training for our potential professional family teacher. We're always talking about the cycle of needs. And so all the training really pretty much always goes back to that. We have these children that we're caring for, and they have certain needs, right? Like they have the need for survival and safety, to be loved and to belong, for self-esteem, right? And so those needs then get expressed. It gets expressed in some type of behavior. And it's not always the behavior that we want to see. But those are the behaviors that we're dealing with. But when we think about how that behavior again, it's not personal. It's not that they're just trying to, you know, act out and do something and take it out on us. The behavior is demonstrating some type of need. And then, you know, how then are we going to intervene? And so a lot of the training really goes into, again, whether the placements are for the older youth or the younger youth, acceptable, if you want to say that, acceptable, effective tools that can be used for intervening. So that way our children's needs are being met. And again, they're able to proceed through the stages. They're able to continue to grow in positive and healthy ways.
Wow, those are all great things. So just to keep it lighthearted and wrap up this amazing conversation, Brenda, what are some of the justifications maybe or explanations that you've heard for corporal punishment? Because some of them I found as a TIPS trainer myself can be quite interesting, I'll say lightheartedly. I've heard many, many reasons for why we should and why we should not. So what are some of the things, like some of the myths that you debunk about corporal punishment?
Well, the biggest ones really are, I mean, my mama used it on me and I turned out fine. I got the point. Right. Mm-hmm. Or I used it on my kids, and so I want to treat them like my children. You're asking me to treat them like my children, you know? And so, we want you to have that same love and compassion for them that you have for your own children. But, you know, when it comes to this, you cannot treat them. You cannot do with them how you would do with your own children. And so, yeah, those are two that, you know, it worked on me, and, you know, it's worked on my children, and you want me to treat them like I would treat my children. Those are the biggest points that people make.
Yes, I've heard that one many times, and I usually like to twist that one back to them, and I give it to them in a nice, pretty package, and I say, well, speaking of that, I say, how about we look at it this way? How about you treat these children like you would want your children treated? If the unfortunate thing happened that your children had to go into foster care, would you want someone to use corporal punishment on your children?
Mm-hmm.
So usually that always invites a different perspective, because while we are usually ready to decide when we have the authority to use corporal punishment, we usually always second guess another adult.
That's the truth. That is very, that's a great point. Yeah, I can do it, but you cannot do it.
Exactly. In layman's terms, I can, but you can't. Right. That's even a debate between mom and dad. Like, I can spank them, but you can't. So, yes, corporal punishment is a very interesting discussion. Brenda, you gave us so many different nuggets: discipline versus punishment, the concept of children being traumatized and numb to this type of behavior, knowing that this type of behavior could put a child's safety in a compromising position, and knowing that it's just simply not tolerated, how to intervene when discipline is needed. Like, you have given us so many different nuggets, and I just appreciate all this. We look forward to learning more from you on this topic, and we are definitely going to reach out to you for more resources on corporal punishment and discipline, because I think that you have a lot to offer on the concept of discipline, and we're going to dig more into that soon.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I've enjoyed our discussion today.
Thank you, Brenda. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
That's all for this episode of Fostering Conversations. Thank you for joining us for our conversation with Brenda McCoy on the topic of corporal punishment. And thank you for joining us once again. Fostering Conversations is sponsored by Siraj Family Homes Incorporated and Al Hodge Incorporated. Learn more at www.sirajfh.com. Signing off, this has been your host, Shay Stinson.